The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders and the Australians.
Sono felice di servire il Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
5 new temples.
Ni kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
Welcome to Into All the World, where we discuss missionary work and the global reach of the church around the world. I'm Tim Taggart, and joining me in the studio today are President Donald and Jane Pugh, who have recently returned from the Pennsylvania Harrisburg Mission. Thank you for being with us in the studio today.
Thank you for having us.
It's such a blessing for all of us as members of the church to be engaged in missionary work. But as a mission president and companion, it's got to be an incredible blessing to be able to see the work close up. As we begin today, can you just share a little bit about your family and your background professionally and family to help our listeners understand kind of who you are?
Go ahead, Jane.
Well, I'll probably do best on our family. We have 5 children, and while we were on our mission, we had our youngest daughter get married, and we had 5 grandbabies born. And so we'll soon have 10 babies, grandbabies, and now all our children are married in a way, so we miss them, but the work takes a lot of time and energy. And I felt lucky for my personality that I could just really focus in on my missionary work without having a family to worry about. And then President was really good to include me on everything that he did, and we got to be together and do this together, and I loved that part of it. I've never quite had enough of him, and because he spread himself, you know, through church work and business. And for the first time, I had him locked in our Avalon a lot of times that I just had him all to myself.
And it's interesting. You really spend a lot of time together in this calling, so different than almost any other calling
it's
in
true.
The church
it's true.
That
true.
You've ever had or ever will have.
And we loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we left on our mission from Bellevue, Washington, which is a suburb of Seattle. We had lived there for about 20 years. I was there with a business opportunity. I owned a company that I was a distributor for Cummins diesel engines mm-hmm. in the Pacific Northwest. And so that took us to the Northwest, and it became our home. We raised our 5 kids there and loved it a great deal. And since our mission, we've moved down here to Salt Lake City last fall mm-hmm. and are enjoying being back in Utah, where I'm originally from. And mm-hmm. Sister Pugh is originally from Southern California.
Uh-huh. Great. We appreciate kind of getting acquainted a little bit. And now help us get acquainted with the mission. Tell us a little bit about the mission and about the people. Just help us get acquainted with the mission.
Sure. Our mission was headquartered in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which is the state capital of Pennsylvania. And in the central portion, we had everything from York in the south to Scranton in the north and Lancaster in the east over to Altoona in the western part of the state. It's a very beautiful country, gorgeous scenery, very rural for the most part. So we learned how to enjoy farm country and the Appalachian Mountains and the other gorgeous things that there are in central Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Tell us a little bit about the people.
The people are very nice people. Many of the people in the East have lived there for generations, and so they go back and they're very proud of their heritage. You have people from all over the world there. It's a real melting pot. Mm-hmm. Of people, lots of different people from different religious backgrounds. Pennsylvania was originally founded as a haven for religious freedom mm-hmm. When William Penn received a grant from the King of England. And so there were many people who came there, Quakers and Amish people who came to be able to have freedom of religion. And so it's a very diverse culture. And in the Harrisburg area, there's a lot of people that are affiliated with government agencies mm-hmm. being the state capital. Mm-hmm. So you have professional people and manufacturing people, rural people. It's a very diverse population in central Pennsylvania.
Excellent. So how's the church growing? Are there stakes, districts?
Wards? Yes. In our mission, there were 5 stakes. So everything is stakes. Each of those stakes had several branches, smaller units. But the church is growing and developing there and has very strong leadership. When we were there, I think four of the five stake presidents were converts to the church.
Great.
And really were outstanding, strong leaders, but were local from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
With the exception of, I think, one or two.
Uh-huh. That's great. And you begin to see that strength of leadership. One of the miracles of the church that sometimes we don't appreciate because it's so normal for those of us who live in the strongholds of the Wasatch Front is the fact that this church, no matter where it is in one country, is a local church. We have the language of the local people. We have leadership that are converted, baptized, and are raising their families in the local area. So we speak of an American church or that sort of thing, but almost more than any other, we are a local church, and that's what you've just described.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, how is the church growing? How do missionaries find people to teach, and how engaged are the members in finding people for the missionaries?
Well, there's just, it seems like people find the church in every different way.
Uh-huh.
We, of course, as missionaries, are working hard to talk to everyone we see. But we also found that a lot of times people found us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an interesting thing to observe. People would come in contact with the church in different ways. We had one lady I remember by the name of Vicky who was in the York area, and she heard about the church from seeing an advertisement on television for mm-hmm. the Book of Mormon.
Huh.
And she had had some health problems. She was a veteran of the Gulf War
mm-hmm.
and had sustained some injuries there and subsequently had had a stroke and had some serious problems. But she just was touched by this Book of Mormon that she saw. And so she called in and, of course, missionaries delivered it. And it became an amazing experience for those missionaries to meet with her and to feel of her spirit and to watch her just explode as she learned about the Book of Mormon and the gospel and that there was a prophet on the earth. Very interesting. In the home that she was in, we found out that there was also a young man who worked there who was an inactive member of the church.
Huh.
And as he saw Vicky being taught the gospel by the missionaries, he went to the missionaries and said, "I'm a member. I don't go to the church, but can I sit in?"
Great.
And as Sister Pugh and I attended her baptism, it was fun to see him. He gave one of the talks at the baptism, and he became an active participant in the church as a result of that. And just recently, I think on the 2nd of January, the missionaries who were involved in teaching Vicky, she, a short time after she was baptized, passed away.
Mm.
And on January 2nd of this year, those missionaries went to the Salt Lake Temple and performed the sacred ordinances for her in the temple.
Wow.
It was a great blessing.
It's great
to see her find the gospel in that way.
Yeah.
She found us.
Yeah, yeah. The Lord touches people and affects their lives as much as they're willing to be touched.
Absolutely. Tell them about how you found the one young man, Sister Pugh, down in the southern part of the mission from Rita's.
Yeah. Well, sometimes at transfer meetings, I would try to tell the missionaries to give them something to think about or do something different. And it was hot, and it's humid back there. And it was summertime, and there's a wonderful place all over Pennsylvania called Rita's, and they have Italian gelato. And so I told the missionaries, I said, we'll have this be a Rita's transfer. And I said, if you're having a really bad day or a really good day, save up your money and go to Rita's and get a gelato. But I said, you can't just get your gelato. I said, you have to talk to everybody there and we'll see how this goes. And after a few weeks, some missionaries called me and said, oh, Sister Pugh, this is so great. They said, we went to Rita's for gelato, and the young man that was helping us said, "Now, are you those Mormon missionaries?" And they said, "Yes, we are." And he said, "Aren't you the ones that believe that Brigham Young translated those golden plates out of a hat?" And they said, "Well, that's not quite right." But they said, "People are waiting, but is there any way we could come and talk to you another day?" And he said, "Well, yes." And so they got his address and phone number and went back and taught him. And he just got married in the temple.
Is that awesome?
And so you can find people anywhere doing anything. And I guess that's the real blessing.
Or you can be touched to say the most random things, which the Lord has someone in mind that he
true.
Wants to get someone to.
That's
exactly.
True.
And the members were wonderful in helping us. We had one ward in the Williamsport stake that just had a great group of members. And one of the young ladies in high school invited her friend by the name of Josh just to come to church with her one Sunday. And Josh came and really enjoyed himself, and so he started coming on a regular basis mm-hmm. and met with the missionaries and eventually joined the church, came out here to Salt Lake City, went to LDS Business College for uh-huh. a year, returned back to Pennsylvania, started working with his parents, taught them the gospel, received a mission call, and 1 week before he reported to the MTC, baptized his mom and dad.
Wow.
All from one yeah. young girl who just said, "Josh, come on and go to church with us."
Yeah.
That's how he found the gospel.
Yeah. And it's amazing because the story never ends. You know, because we're the recipients of our grandparents, in some cases, a great-grandparents' story
right.
that started with a little thing just like that.
Right.
And now through the generations, look at the growth. I mean, you talk about your marvelous grandbabies, and this is the kingdom of God in Zion being established because they'll grow up, go on missions, marry in the temple, have children, and the people they touch and reach. It's a marvelous story.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
A lot of people find the church, too, just from missionaries knocking on their door.
Uh-huh.
Or doing simple acts of service. Tell them about Sister Morgan.
We had some missionaries that were just going down the street, and they saw a lady who had a big basket of laundry, and she was getting it out of her car. And they said, "Can we just carry that in for you? It looks heavy." And she was a little hesitant, but she said yes. And so they just took it up to the door, and they talked to her and said, you know, what they were and who they were, and could they come back and give this wonderful message? And she said yes. And so, of course, they needed someone to go with them because she was a single lady. So they had President go with them. And then that day, Sister Morgan had thought about it, and she thought, "I don't know these young men. I'm not going to let them in when they come." And they came to the door, and she was ready to just send them packing. But she looked around, and she saw President, and she thought, "Oh, well, there's an adult with these young men." This
I don't know how much of an adult they had with them, but they had me.
But she thought, "Well, maybe this is okay." So she let them in, and they had a great lesson. And then the next time, they had come to the mission home, and they were so excited about her. And I said, "Okay, the next time I get to go." So President and I both went the next time, and they did a great job of teaching the second lesson. And then Elder Russell said, "Sister Morgan, 2 weeks from today on a Saturday, we're going to have a baptism. Would you like to be baptized that day?" And she jumped up and went over towards the fridge. And I just thought, "Oh, no, you know, we've offended her." And she had gone over to the fridge and looked on the calendar and said, "I'm free that day." And it was just so wonderful to see her just embrace this so quickly.
Yeah.
And just a wonderful faith. And then to see the change in her. The day she was baptized, she wasn't that close to her children, but they came to the baptism and they said, "Mom, something's different about you. You don't even look the same."
Hmm.
And, you know, she really didn't look the same.
Yeah.
She had a vibrancy and a light in her that just shone so visibly. I had never, you had heard those stories and, you know, I had seen people's lives change, but I had never seen anyone's countenance change. And she was a wonderful woman before, but she just, and she's just so darling. Before she joined the church for a job, she played piano in different churches all over Harrisburg. And they asked her to be the Relief Society pianist. And she played the hymns of Zion like nobody I'd ever heard. She was just delightful.
Yeah. The change that happens and that you see, and oftentimes that's so visible to coworkers that it become that they start the conversations and discover the church that way.
Yes.
Very true.
We're on the Mormon Channel. This is Into All the World. We're so grateful to be able to have Donald and Jane Pugh, who recently returned from the Pennsylvania Harrisburg Mission as Mission President and Companion. And thank you for being in the studio with us today. As we see these young missionaries and couples come out, young men and young women, you're in a marvelous position to see the changes that occur in their lives. Any comments you'd like to make about those kind of experiences?
Well, they come in all different shapes and sizes and levels of confidence. Some are overconfident. Some don't have any confidence when they come. I remember one young missionary from a very small town in Idaho who came out who was so shy he just about couldn't look you in the eye when he got off the plane. And I thought, how in the world is he going to ever do this work? And we sent him up to a very small town in the northern part of the mission, up to where the Prophet Joseph was in the Susquehanna branch in Harmony, in the area of what was originally Harmony. And he went about tracting and knocking on doors up there with a wonderful companion who instilled confidence in him. And I think by the end of his mission, he became our strongest tracting missionary. He loved to talk to people. He was absolutely fearless. He started where the prophet had initially received the priesthood and translated much of the Book of Mormon, and he felt that spirit there, and it just gave him a confidence. And every time I would see him in an interview, he'd say, "President, I want you to extend my mission." And I would say, "Elder, no. The prophet called you, and he gave you a call date and a release date, and that's when you go home." But every time I'd sign me, "President, can't I stay longer?" And when I first saw him, I thought, maybe you won't even make it. But he just developed this great confidence. And that happened time and time again with missionaries.
Well, and sometimes these young men, especially the ones coming from small towns, they know how to work. And so that ability so far overcompensates for some of those shyness things and other things that they become awesome missionaries from that great principle.
They sure
do.
Yeah. If you know how to work, you can accomplish almost anything with the Lord's help.
Well, and being humble and being obedient, those three things are just an unbeatable combination because it means the Lord can use you.
Right.
and he's the one doing the work anyway.
Right.
That's right.
What are some of the experiences that you had with couples? Did you have many senior couples in the mission?
Oh, we did. We just had some wonderful senior couples. And we tried to get together every transfer with them, bring them into the mission home and have a meal together. And I just saw the work that they would do with the missionaries and the members. And a lot of them were wonderful proselyting missionaries. Mm-hmm. And they just did a wonderful work. You know, I think when they first came out, they were often a little overwhelmed and kind of, well, weren't we all? We were very overwhelmed, but and kind of didn't know, you know, how they could make a difference where they were. And it was so incredible to see them kind of reach down and figure out what their gifts and talents were. And it might be a diversity of gifts, you know. Some of them were good at proselyting. We had one dear, dear sister whose health was not really that great. But she could tie quilts, even when she didn't feel very good.
Uh-huh.
And she tied all of these quilts, and they had a program in their branch where they would give a Book of Mormon and one of these little lap quilts to non-members or less active members and challenge them to curl up in this quilt and read the Book of Mormon. And they just made such an impact. And so it doesn't matter who you are, what your health is, what your gift is, you can make a difference. And missionaries adore the senior couples. They just, they feed them, they drive them around, they buoy them up, they teach them, they add the maturity to missionaries. That is just the right balance to keep them centered. They're invaluable.
Yeah. And what a blessing to the senior couples to be engaged with those young missionaries. It's a two-way blessing.
It's true. Yeah, I say they keep you young and they make you old at the same time.
The senior missionaries are just amazing. We had such tremendous couples in our mission office who we had one couple actually who served locally from the Harrisburg stake who served in our office for a year and a half, and they were spectacular because they knew all the people in the area, and he had had a background in a maintenance industry and helped us with our cars, and they were just such an amazing lift. And then we had so many wonderful couples from around the world, and it didn't matter, like Sister Pugh said, of their age or their health. They all found a way to contribute that was spectacular.
Yeah. To me, it's almost miraculous, and I wish senior couples could understand that the Lord uses you and your talents, and what you have is just fine. You know, you don't have to become someone else or do, you know, things that you don't normally do. It's really just using the talents you have, and it's a miracle. It's a blessing in the lives of so many people.
It truly is, and we grew to love them, and they've become such wonderful friends that will be friends of ours forever.
Yeah.
And the missionaries love them, and they love the missionaries.
Yeah. Yeah, what a blessing.
Yeah.
As you think a little bit about the gospel and its impact and its taking root, what are some experiences that you've had with the missionaries and the members working together and really establishing the gospel on that local level?
Well, I think where we really saw great progress was when the leaders would personally become involved in the missionary work with, you know, the people that they were trying to find and teach. We had one experience where I know when one of our stake presidents would made it a priority in his life that he would go out once a month with the missionaries who lived in his ward. And he would go out with them. I remember one evening they went out together to see a family, and the family wasn't there, and the missionaries were really disappointed. And pretty soon somebody walked down the street, and this fabulous stake president started a conversation with him. And eventually that became the person who joined the church. And if you want to see a stake president get excited about the work, have him have a personal experience of finding and teaching and then seeing people join the gospel. And we saw that not only with leaders, but many people, you know, no matter what their calling at the time was, who if they would go out and get involved, invite their friends into their home or invite people that the missionaries were teaching into their home, it just had an amazing impact and experience on them.
Yeah. And what a blessing for the missionaries to be able to use that kind of an example. And also the investigators to the church, when they have a friend that's a member of the church that they can lean on, ask questions to, and that can help them and nurture them in the church, it's a whole different experience for them.
Totally.
Yes. Yes, we had we had one ward mission leader up in the Scranton ward who was particularly good at that. He was a convert to the church himself, probably been in the church maybe 4 years now himself. But he just became friends with whoever the missionaries were teaching. And when they came to church, they had a friend. And he would love them and introduce them and put his arm around them and make them feel like they already belonged. And so long after the missionaries were gone, they already had a solid contact in the church, and you know, it just makes all the difference when people feel comfortable. Nobody likes to go any place where they don't know anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
So they immediately had a friend in the Word Mission Leader.
Yeah. And that bears long-term residuals, because it doesn't take too long if they can stick it out that they're starting to be engaged with the Spirit, their life starts to blossom, and that they in turn now become friends with others who they bring into the gospel.
Exactly.
Did you have experiences with baptismal services and other events like that that are very spiritual as far as impacting other investigators? And
I remember one in the Hershey Ward, and we had gone, and the missionaries were teaching a man, and we met him. The missionaries introduced mm-hmm. us to him, and he said to us, he said, "These missionaries said that if I come to this baptism, I'm going to feel something I've never felt before. So I came here to see." Maybe a little
That's
bit
awesome.
Belligerent even. And he said, and I brought my, I can't remember if it was his cousin or his friend,
his cousin,
but he
I think.
Had brought someone with him. And they sat a couple of rows in front of us at the baptism. And I remember praying my heart out that they would, in fact, feel something that they had never felt before. And it wasn't too long into the baptism that tears were just streaming down his face. And afterwards, I said, "Did you feel it?" He said, "Yes." And so, you know, for members, non-members, missionaries, I don't care who went to a baptism, there is a power and a spirit when that ordinance is done that everyone's going to feel.
Yeah.
And missionaries can promise that because
That's right.
it's there.
Yeah.
It is there. And so we tried very hard to get everybody that we were teaching to a baptism before they got baptized so they would know. So they just had to feel it once. And and usually they wanted that for themselves.
We had another wonderful experience in a ward where a man was being baptized who was from mainland China.
Mm-hmm.
He was a medical doctor and had been initially tracted into by young missionaries, elders,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't just the right time for him. And about 6 months later, we had sisters in the area.
Mm.
The sisters were going through their area book, and they found this man and went back to see he and his wife and began teaching him the gospel, a very spiritual, fabulous man. And just felt the Spirit, knew the gospel was true as he read the Book of Mormon. And Sister Pugh and I had a chance to teach them on a number of occasions and just felt the Spirit in his home. But we attended his baptism. And one of the talks that was given in the baptism was given in his native Chinese language by another member of the church who spoke his dialect of Chinese. And his parents were there from mainland China along with his wife. And I'd never been in a meeting where the Spirit was stronger, where the thoughts were more tender. It was a large room packed with small children and adults and every age, and you could hear a pin drop. And most of us couldn't understand the words that were being spoken, but what we did understand was the Spirit that was testified. And as he stood in the water and was baptized, the fact that there was a different language being spoken made no difference. And I looked at his parents, and they were very emotional, although they didn't understand what he had been taught yet or what he had learned. They knew that it was a good thing, and there was a powerful Spirit there. We just saw that repeated. Almost every baptism you went to was an incredible spiritual experience.
And it's interesting how the Lord, through the Holy Ghost, which is a universal translator, he's the teacher, you know. He's the guide.
That's correct.
And we all we do really is just join hands in this work and go through it together as the Lord does His work. And Heavenly Father knows His children, and we get to observe the miracles that occur.
It's true.
Some of the experiences that as a mission president that you have in the mission are amazing because of the responsibility and the Lord helping in that responsibility. Did you feel that with the missionaries, with assignments when they came out, transfers, and just dealing with the missionaries? Did you feel some of those miraculous things occurring in your experience?
Oh, very much so. I think every time there was a transfer, that was probably the week or 10 days before that were always the most challenging for me, because I would spend a lot of time trying to make sure that I was listening to the Spirit and not just my own decisions on who ought to be with whom and in which area they might be successful in. But I found myself many times even driving across the Susquehanna River over to the transfer meeting from Camp Hill, where we lived, over to Harrisburg, just a 10-minute drive. Once or twice, even going across there, the Spirit whispered to me, that isn't right.
Yeah.
And I would make a change, at the very last moment, because I just had a feeling that there was something that was more important. And so I think that happened a lot, that sometimes things you didn't even understand why it felt right, but it just was right.
Yeah. And then it becomes
evident. Yeah, it becomes evident to you later on. And in fact, I was talking to one of our missionaries when he came home here recently, and he said, in fact, he said this in his homecoming remarks in his ward. He said, I went to 3 transfer meetings, and I prayed that President Pugh would not put me with a certain missionary. And he said, all 3 times, he put me with the missionary that I was most concerned about being with. And he said, I want to tell all of you here in this congregation that I love those 3 missionaries. They're my best friends, and I'm grateful that the Lord put me with them. Well,
and
that wasn't
know,
me.
But the Lord did.
The Lord knew.
Yeah.
And this young man didn't know. He thought that these would be difficult circumstances for him. What he found out was there was something he could give to those young men and something they could give to him.
Yeah.
And that together they were stronger. And they were together for a reason that neither one of us knew at the time.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that this Spirit permeates every branch, every ward, every country, every language across the world. And the Lord is really at the helm. And again, we get to be a part of this, but you can see it from the humble converts, and it doesn't matter the country or the language, who come into the church and they're afraid, they've never done things, and yet they get a calling and it's scary, you know. And so they're experiencing on their own level the same things the missionaries are experiencing on their level. And as a mission president and companion, you experience on your level. And we're all growing, and it's Heavenly Father's way of nurturing and teaching His children.
It's true.
It's true. Yeah.
What a blessing to be a part of that.
Yeah. They all grow so much. You know, they come out, and for many of them, it's the first time they've really had to pray in a sincere way, because it wasn't easy now. It was hard.
Yeah.
They had to really study the gospel. They had to really find answers to people's questions and sometimes to their own questions. And as a result of that, they had marvelous learning experiences, and you could see the growth that took place. If you looked at the young missionary when they came out the first few weeks compared to what they're like when they go home, I think some of their moms and dads had probably a hard time recognizing them, not just physically.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They became spiritual giants.
They did.
They really did.
They did.
It's a marvelous way the Lord has of growing His kingdom. This program on the Mormon Channel is called Into All the World. That's the command the missionaries have and that we all have of taking the gospel forward. And we're so grateful that we could have the pews here with us today and grateful for your willingness to sacrifice time and talents and effort and energy and going forth to serve a mission and being able to testify of the blessing it is in your life to be able to serve. Maybe as we wrap up here, it'd be wonderful to have you share your testimony with us. Maybe, Sister Pugh, you could begin and express your testimony with us, and then President Pugh, if you would.
Being on a mission and seeing all of these things and being able to testify every day about what you believe can't help but build your testimony. And I do have such a strong testimony that God lives. And that He has a plan for us, and that our Savior Jesus Christ is so important to this plan, and that he did come down here and live a perfect life and teach us how we needed to live our lives, that he suffered in the garden and on the cross, that we would have a way that we could repent and become clean and then again live with he and the Father. And I know that he was buried in that garden tomb. And 3 days later, he was resurrected. And because he died and lives again, we too, when we die, will be able to live again like he does. And I have seen that change so many people's lives. There's so many people that don't know there's a Heavenly Father that loves them. And to teach them and to let them know what I know and what you know, that he does live and he does love us, is so dear to me. And I'm so grateful that the Lord allowed me to have this experience with my husband and with our missionaries. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Serving in Pennsylvania helped me to really love the prophet Joseph Smith even more than I already did. To stand on the banks of the Susquehanna River with our missionaries and to realize that Peter, James, and John appeared to he and Oliver on that banks of that river and restored the priesthood of God, that John the Baptist appeared to him and Oliver and restored the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood. And to feel the sense of place helped me to really treasure and cherish the fact that God does speak to men and women on the earth and that he does call prophets. And I have a testimony that Joseph was a prophet. And that since that time, as the gospel was restored in its entirety, that we are led by a prophet of God today, President Thomas Spencer Monson. And as you serve, you realize that that's all because they are serving and doing what the Lord Jesus Christ would have them do. And my testimony, like Sister Pugh's, is that Jesus is the Christ, that he is whom we worship, the Father through the Son, that he is our elder brother, that he died for us on the cross, that we might live again, be forgiven of our sins, repent, and return back to a heavenly home. I have a testimony of his mission, and I love him and the great blessings that he's given to our family and to those we love, to our missionaries and to the dear saints in Pennsylvania. We loved our opportunity to serve. We loved our opportunity to serve him and hope to do it throughout the remainder of our lives and bury my testimony that God is our Father and that he loves us and Jesus is his Son. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. This is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. I'm your host, Tim Taggart, and joining me in the studio today have been President Donald and Sister Jane Pugh, who recently returned from the Pennsylvania Harrisburg Mission. Thank you for your willingness to be here and for the great spirit that you brought today.
Thanks so much for having us.
You have been listening to Into All the World.